As we finish up, the start of this series was based on a study that came out in January this year by a secular company that was doing it for a different reason, but they did a study and they found out 3 in 5 Americans, 61% exactly, 3 in 5 Americans report that they are lonely. And the more interesting than that, younger people between 18 and 22 reported being more lonely than those that are older, 72 and above. It can be defined or described by many people in different ways, but loneliness is not a disease or a failure if you're facing loneliness or have. It's not a matter of I've been lonely. Everybody's been lonely before. If everybody's gone and for the first time you find yourself by yourself, family's gone, friends are gone, whatever reason, and have to deal with the combination of a new dynamic for the day, for the weekend, for whatever it might be. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the internal sense of loneliness, where even when you are around people, busy, there's something missing. And you report that, man, I just feel lonely on the inside. And we've talked about how to defeat this in a manner that is not only practical, but spiritual, because we have to go to the principles of the Word of God. The Bible is our book of life. And so we've talked about what are some of the 3 connections that we need to defeat loneliness, because it's not the desire of your father. And if you have our app, you can open up to the notes and follow along with me. It's not the desire of your father, Heavenly Father, for you to live in a state of being lonely.
Amen.
It's one thing to experience something emotionally in a moment, another thing to live it in the life. And Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
3 connections that help us eliminate loneliness. And this is by no means am I saying that these are the only things, so you don't have to come up and say, what about this? You know, I mean, you let the Lord from his word reveal. But and no one series and no one message deals with the complexity of any topic. We have to realize that. My goal is not to give you all the answers like a mother bird feeding the baby chicks. My goal is to get you enough that either you agree or disagree and you want to go dig deeper for yourself.
Right.
Can I get an amen? And so I challenge you to challenge everything I say with the Word of God. Don't take my word for anything, because it's not Pastor Greg's word that will make a difference. It's what the Word of God says that will make a difference.
Amen.
Can I get a better amen than that? 3 connections, quickly in review. The first connection we talked about, which has to be the priority number one in any area of our lives if you want to see success in solving it, and that is what the Word of God tells us. Our first connection is connecting to God's presence. Our connections to God's presence. The presence of God is real. It's tangible. You take God out of the situation, you could do everything following just like it and not get the same results. You could take God out of your friendship, take God out of your marriage, take God out of your money, take God out of your career, take God out of your goals and ambitions, take God out of your health, and all of a sudden the dynamic changes. The Bible says that those who guard the city, if the Lord doesn't do it, those who guard are doing it in vain. So it doesn't mean we don't do anything. James says faith without works is dead. But we have to realize what we do has to be in alignment, connection with Jesus being the priority, his word being a priority in our life. Can I get an amen to that? And so you can take the stuff that's the actions and take it without God and try to emulate it. And that's what a lot of people do. They'll find what God has spoken to somebody and try to imitate what they've done, hoping to get the same results, but they've done it without God. And you can do the same pattern without God and not get the same results. Because the key element that makes the difference in the ingredient, or the recipe, if you will, of any miracle is the God factor in the story. You take God out, it's not the same story. You take Jesus out, it's not the same story. There's churches today that have literally taken God out. They come together. They're called atheist churches. Maybe you've heard of these. And they literally exist. And people come together in a building setting. They play music, not worship, but just some song, some secular music. And then someone comes up and gives a motivational encouragement message about how to be better. And then they do stuff in the community to help the community. It sounds like a church, but it doesn't have Jesus. And when you take Christ out of anything, you lose the power, because the secret sauce to healing, the secret sauce to miracles, the secret sauce to victory is God's presence. Moses understood this, and we see it being played out in quick review. We see it being played out when he was about to lead the people into the promised land. And God had a little one-on-one meeting with Moses and said, Moses, I'm not going. I'm not going to go with you to lead the people. I'm going to send an angel with you to lead the people into the promised land. 40 years you've been trying to get there. 40 years you've been talking about it. 40 years you've been thinking about it. 40 years you've been thinking, one day we'll finally reach the destination of what God's promised. And on the doorstep of the miracle, God says, I'm letting you go in, but without me. And Moses does something that most people, most Christians, probably wouldn't do. Moses put a pause on it and said, God, what separates us from the rest of the nations of the world? Is it not your presence with us? Is it not you with us? And God, if you don't go, we don't go. Why? Because you can do everything right, but if you take God out of it, it doesn't work like it's supposed to work. You can get rich in the business world by working hard and making good decisions. But without God, there are sorrows at it, because the Word of God says God will, He will make you rich and not add sorrow to it. Don't tell me that the people that are famous and rich and are celebrities and successful and athletes are happy. If they were all so happy, they wouldn't be on drugs. If they're all happy, they wouldn't be so high. If they were all happy, they wouldn't be drunk all the time. If they were so happy, they wouldn't be getting their fourth and fifth divorce. Because something is different behind the scenes than in front of the scenes. The camera, the story's different when the camera's on them than when the camera's off them. And I'm telling you, with Jesus, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can be the same in front of people and behind the scenes when nobody sees you. Because when God is doing the work, it's the real deal. Can I get an amen? There's no fake it till you make it when it comes to Jesus. See, He's the real deal. First connection to God's presence. That's what's robbed many people in the church world. They don't understand the reasoning behind what they do. Go to church, read the Bible, pray, worship. They think it's in the method of the expression and not realizing it's on the destination of a journey. Your worship is to bring you into God's presence, for He inhabits the praises of His people. Your prayer is to bring you into God's presence. It's not to see if you can say it correctly and have it enunciated correctly. And you want to find somebody who doesn't know the heart of their Heavenly Father? Find somebody who prays properly. I just stepped on somebody's toes. You find me somebody who's very proper in their approach to heaven, and I'll show you somebody who doesn't know the heart of their Father. A little child does not proper in, yes, mother, may I have a few minutes to discuss with you? What? No, they walk in, barge in, knock the door down. You say, where do you get that out of the Bible? Good question. The Bible says we can boldly enter the throne and by the blood of the Lamb, and that the Spirit of God allows us to cry out, Abba, Father. That means Daddy God. You don't have to have it all right. What if I miss a point in the 7 points of my prayer? Your prayer doesn't need no points. Your prayer needs a person. It's the presence of God. Don't shout me down now. I'm just... So I need God's presence. Second connection is connected to God's purpose. Taking the focus, refocusing onto what God wants us to see. Just not about us, but about other people. When you start investing in other people, when you start doing what God wants you to do to make a difference. Because as sad as your story may be, have you ever noticed when you're in a storm, it's bigger than life? Have you ever told somebody your storm story? Ooh, I just made that up. I like that. Have you ever told somebody your storm story and they kind of look at you like, what's the big deal? They don't understand the depth of the emotions that should be connected. You wanted them to cry. You wanted them to shake and fall apart. You wanted them to be overwhelmed with concern. And they're like, oh, okay, let me know how it goes. And they walk away and you're like, because when you're in the storm, it's bigger than life. Until you learn to open the door of life and let it show who's the biggest. Amen. And one of the things that help us is as we get in God's presence, he begins to not only change your perspective of God and your perspective of the situation, he'll start getting you to see the needs around you.
Yeah.
You begin to look at situations and say, wait a minute, I know I might be struggling in this area, but I'm going to go bless somebody today. I know I feel discouraged today, but I'm going to find somebody I can encourage today. I know I'm feeling weak today, but I'm going to go speak strength in somebody today. And what you sow and invest in others, it begins a process that it begins to return into your life. And also, it changes your perspective. You think, oh, I got a bad doctor's report. Walk through the hospital of a burn victim ward and find out who's got a bad diagnosis. Walk through a children's cancer ward and start praying for kids. It's getting quiet around here. Because the devil will tell you that you have the worst storm story of them all. Everybody should be praying and crying and helping, assisting, and why aren't they there for you? You got the worst story of all. I encourage you to get off your... I almost said it. I did. I listened to this. And find purpose that God has for you. Amen. Moving right along. Moving right along. Third connection. Connected to God's presence, connected to God's purpose. Number three, and last for this series, connecting to God's people.
Yeah.
Connecting to God's people. This is something you can do outside of God, but remember the principle, when you take God out of anything, you lose the benefit and the purpose of what God intended it to be. When you take God out of anything, everybody wants to have friends. A TV show that is still making enormous amount of money. I read recently that all the cast of the Friends to this day, that they make between 30, I think it's 30, it might be 60, $30 million a year each, still today. Don't you wish you were on that show? Just for one season. Come on, Jesus. That was just a joke. You don't have to stay with it. Come stay with it. One of the emphases that we have at Hope Church, and you'll hear us say it a lot, is that Hope Church, we believe in a relationship, not a religion.
Yeah.
A relationship with God, a relationship with his people.
Come on.
God wants us to have a relationship with each other. Real people. Real people. That means not perfect people. Have you ever heard someone, I don't know if I'll go to church because I was there before, and there's some hypocrites in the church. Well, duh. There's some sick people in the hospital, too. Duh. I'm not going to church. I went to church once, and I met some people, and they were liars. Duh. Because the house of God is not a place for perfect people. It's for real people to experience God and let God do what only God can do in their lives. It's also something much more than a walls and a building and a zip code and a location. It's a community of people. It's relationships. Say relationships. It's an idea that God had.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to call it the church.
Yes.
The birthing of the church happened. The birthing of the church happened in Acts. It's the beginning of the last phase. Do you realize that? When Peter in Acts at the day of Pentecost, when he began to quote Old Testament prophecies, and he said, in the last days, he wasn't wrong. That was the beginning of the last days. We are in this phase called the last days. So when you hear people say, we are in the last days, yes, we are. The church phase, age, is the last. And I believe we are in the last of the last days. But it's more than a building. It's relationships. But in that relationships, we have different levels of relationships, as you would do in any natural thing. You have some that are friends, acquaintances. The church world's the same way. We have people say, hey, good morning, how are you doing, how's your week? God bless you. See you next Sunday on your way out. And we call that fellowship. And there's no fellowship about it. If you're taking notes, let me give you three levels of relationship and founded the church. Number one, the first level is membership. This is not a membership recruiting Sunday, by the way, so just lighten up. In fact, we do it a little different. We don't open the doors of the church. We don't take a class. We don't sign a card. And nothing wrong with any of those things. I've had people say, Pastor, I've been coming for a couple of years. How do I join this place? I told you, we do things different. Some of you are like, I agree. I've been around for 17 years. I'm still trying to figure. Why? Because we don't do it off an event. We do it off an ongoing commitment. Come on. Membership is a relationship. It's a relationship. And the reason that we do this, and there's nothing right or wrong for those who do it differently, I just, in my own personal experience, and I have to bring my experience into the decision-making process, I have seen over the years growing up in the church where people would come down and shake the pastor's hand. We've done that. My dad was a pastor for 40 years, 38 here at Hope. I've seen people come down and shake his hand and say, I want to join the church, and all excited, and by the next week, they'd done quit. I've seen people take a class, fill out a card, sign their name, and a month later they're gone. Because it's within the human nature to think that if I sign something, then my name's on the roster, I got it covered, I'll be back if I need something.
Come on, Pastor.
And what happens is they miss what I call the bang for the buck that God has.
Come on.
It would be the equivalent of having a wedding ceremony, getting married in front of people, and having the vows and signing your name and kissing your bride and say, I'm glad I'm married. I'll be back if I ever need anything. It doesn't work that way. Why? Because it's a relationship. But it's a relationship you have to choose. It's the basics of what we call relationship in the church. It means that you find a church family, and you choose to get connected. Ephesians 2, verse 19, New Living Translation says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. You are members of God's family. See, anybody can come and attend and sit in a service, sing the songs, drop your children off to be ministered to, listen to the message, and walk out the door. And you're welcome to do that. But you have to understand. We don't pressure people to join. But we will tell you, you miss the benefits of joining.
Right.
Because there's so much below the surface that you don't realize.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true.
See, I am a member of God's family. Christian life is just not believing, but belonging.
Yes.
The Christian life is just not in believing, but in belonging. Being a part of someone. And there's power. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. There's power in unity. The Bible says that the unity amongst believers is like the oil that was anointed on the high priest of Aaron that went down his beard, down his garments, and down his shoes. And he said, there is where I command the blessing. God commands the blessing in the connection with other believers. Too many times in life, we tend to be independent. Oh, I don't need church. I'll watch it on TV. Or I'll go ever so often. Or, you know, I can handle this on my own. Well, if you did, then you need to talk to God that he's messed up the plan. Because evidently God felt like none of us should be an island to ourselves.
Right.
Don't shut me down.
Right.
Don't shut me down. Everybody said? Amen. Everybody shouted?
Amen.
Thank you very much for playing along. We'll move right along. Second level of relationship that we can find in the church. That second level is called friendship. Friendship. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, Amplified says it this way. Therefore, encourage, comfort one another, and build one another up. Listen to me, church. The relationships in the house of God, the relationships with other believers, should be one of a positive impact. Listen to me. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everybody all the time.
Right.
You can disagree. I disagree even theologically with people that I'm close to. I'm amazed how people won't get close to someone because they're afraid that if they get close, that they might find that they don't agree theologically on certain scriptures. That's like saying, I'm concerned to get close to my spouse because I might not agree with everything. You know what? You won't.
Right.
You won't agree with anybody on everything. And you are you ready for this? And if you could hit a button and take you out of today and move you to 10 years, you won't agree with the future you. Because
right.
Hopefully you're growing.
Right.
Hopefully you're learning. Hopefully you've changed some stuff. Can I get an amen? And so don't get overwhelmed by, oh, I don't know if I totally agree with that. You might not. Put it on the back burner. Trust God. Study it out. Let God show you.
Right.
And pray for those around you.
Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen?
What we find, though, in a lot of times in the church world, is people trying to manipulate each other.
Come on.
Getting quiet. The relationship you have with people in the house of God should be one of nature where it's encouraging you, comforting you, and building you up. And yet, in a lot of times in church, and this is another thing that we do different. And again, I'm not trying to bash any church denomination or religion. One of the things that you'll notice at Hope Church is I never tell you my convictions. Have you noticed that? I don't want you to live my convictions. I want you to live your convictions that come from the presence of God and the Word of God. Too many people copy the convictions of other people. And they don't know what they're doing or why they're doing it. And it becomes a weight, a burden on their life. And they live life under a task of, I can't do this. Well, it's because they have no grace to do it. Because what they don't tell you, and what many times they don't realize, is when God speaks to you and gives you a conviction from His Word, He not only gives you information and revelation, He gives you ability.
Right.
Without the revelation, you don't have the grace or the ability to do it.
Right.
So if God tells you that you need to fast 3 days a week, then fast 3 days a week.
Right.
But if God didn't tell you fast 3 days a week, let's go eat lunch.
Right.
We have spiritualized stuff in the church that God never intended to be spiritualized. If God tells you to get up early in the morning and pray before you go to work, get up early in the morning. If that's your conviction, do it.
Right.
If He didn't give you that conviction, sleep in a little bit. Hit the snooze button. Pray in the evening if you want. Pray whenever. The goal is not to get you to conform.
Right.
See, the Bible tells us, Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world. I take that as not only the world culture, I take it even as the church culture.
Yes.
Can I get a silent amen? Because too many people go into the church through salvation and membership, and some good, sincere person usually, some saint that's been saved for 80 years, God bless them, will grab a hold of them and say, praise God that you're saved. Now let me help you out and give them 50,000 things they can't do or have to do. Now listen to me. I'm not saying sin is acceptable. Don't misunderstand me.
Right.
Romans 6, Paul says, do we use our freedom to go back and sin? And he said, God forbid. What I'm talking about is the journey of life. If you're crawling, someone shouldn't try to encourage you to run yet. Because you might not be ready to run. But if you keep crawling, eventually you're going to be walking, and eventually you're going to be running. Because God is looking for progress, a person with a sincere, clear conscience, a right heart, and as they're following God, we should all be growing. Thank you. Say, I'm growing. In the relationship with other believers, it shouldn't be one of manipulation or control or conforming. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Can't tell you how often I talk to people who are under the weight of the expectation of someone who put them over them, and they didn't even invite them. I didn't invite you to be my judge. Who told you to come and tell me I'm doing it all wrong? In fact, this is my personal thing. If I'm not in a relationship with somebody, I don't let them speak over my life. Who are you? I don't know who you are. Well, you're doing this wrong. Well, that says you. We'll agree to disagree. It doesn't mean that you can't take advice from somebody. It doesn't mean that you can't be mentored and encouraged and directed. It means that you understand that God uses people, but just because God has used people doesn't mean every person speaking is one God's using. Don't ask me to repeat that. I couldn't do that again. You'll have to listen or watch it on YouTube or Facebook. Am I helping somebody today? We want you free. And the relationship that God has for you, it should be encouraging, comforting, and building you up. If it's condemning, it's not of God. For there is therefore now, Romans 8, no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if you're walking in the flesh, guess what? In the process of time, the Holy Spirit will warn you and remind you and show you. Because God asked, Jesus asked the disciples to be fishers of men. He didn't ask them to clean them. He just asked them to catch them.
Right.
The Holy Spirit has a way of showing us what we do is right or wrong.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And in a relationship, friendship, it's spending time together. Lifelong friends are not by chance, they're by choice.
Come on.
Making time. On the practical side, this is what we call small groups. And I define small groups as just not a Bible study. And we have those. We have our chat and choose. We have medium-sized groups. We have, but I include small groups, anything that's a small setting that you could be serving together. You could be feeding the hungry together. You can go to one of our outreaches to the street ministry and help the homeless together. You could be playing softball together. Softball season's coming up. Not everything has to be the Bible. And the Bible's obviously the priority in our life. But some people are afraid that if you do something outside of the Bible, then it's going to be a sin. No, you can play softball and have a good time.
Right. That's right.
You got sports. You have Bible studies. Our chat and chew groups are going on. You got to check those out. I think they're at the end of a season or cycle, but you can still go check a couple of them out. Give yourself an opportunity to build friendships with godly people, not perfect people.
Right.
Relationships. And if you come across people that tend to want to shape you, conform you to their way of thinking, let me help you out. Smile and walk away.
Yeah.
Don't need to argue with them, because
right,
the Bible says avoid those type of arguments because they only gender strife.
Right.
Well, they're wrong. Well, that's between them and Jesus.
Yep.
And there's maybe something that you and I both can learn. But the reality is not to try to fight with people, because you can argue. I used to love arguing. I guess it's just part of my personality. As a kid in grade school, I would out-debate teachers. What do you do when you're 10 years old and you can get an adult to cry? I loved it. In high school and junior high, I would debate with people. And sometimes I would argue, and I knew I was wrong. I was just seeing if I could really argue well enough to see if I can beat them. It's like a chess game to me. But I remember the day that I argued a teacher in class, and I caught him. And I jeopardized his job. And he was not only a teacher, but a friend. And the Lord used that situation to say, hey, just because you win doesn't mean you're the winner in this.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to love people even if they disagree with you on important points.
Right.
Because the truth is, I'm being transparent. The truth is, you'll find, in my opinion, I'll say it this way. People that are adamant about getting you to see life, the Bible, whatever, exactly the way they see it, I won't say 100%, we'll say 99% of the time it comes out of an insecurity within themselves.
Yep.
It's almost like that they feel if you disagree, then maybe they're wrong, and they don't want to be wrong. And what validates their strength of opinion is the more people they can get to see it the way they see it. And then they feel secure in their opinion. I'd rather feel secure in Jesus.
Amen.
And I'd rather love people that I disagree with.
Yeah.
And pray for them and ask them to pray for me.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. To say, you might be right, I disagree, but let's stay friends. Because there's a lot of people that are hurting that just need to know that Jesus loves them and can forgive them. Membership, friendship, encourage, comfort, and build up. Last but not least, third level of relationship, family. Say family. This is where you get into loving real people. This is seeing people for who they are. This is not just passing them at the entrance. This is like sitting at the kitchen table at home and talking about life. This is where it really gets real. Loving real people. Loving real people. It's the deepest level of fellowship. The thing about family is it's just not loving people in their best, it's loving people in their worst, but it's literally willing to sacrifice for the better of somebody else. I'll give up so that you can go up. I'll do something that's not convenient in my schedule to help you get ahead. I'll sacrifice time, energy, effort, money, connections. I'll utilize my resources for your benefit, not for mine. That's truly the truest form of the love of God, is to love people for their benefit, not for yours. As long as we approach people, I'm going to love you and help you because I know I can get something from you down the road, then we're not in that level. When it's like, why aren't you helping me? I helped you move 4 years ago when you were moving. What do you mean you can't help me move? Then you're not really walking the love of God because you're just doing so you can get back. And now people owe you because you've helped them. No, the love of God is loving people to the point that I'm not doing it for my benefit. I'm doing it for your benefit. That's family. That's family. That's family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. This is kind of more of a teaching session. Are you okay with this? 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, we know what real love is because, this is New Living Translation, we know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us, and we ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. That's family. It's not a matter, hey, good seeing you. It's, hey, I noticed you haven't been around. Or, hey, what's going on? Family has those tough conversations, those good conversations. Right. Family stand up for each other. Right. Family sacrifice. And the Bible said, like we started at the beginning, the Bible says when you're saved, you are part of the family of God. You're not lonely. You're part of a big family. Amen. We just have to make a choice to begin to experience those relationships and the benefits of it. Can I get an amen? So in conclusion, where are you today? Where are you? And this is between you and Jesus. We're not taking a poll. We're not signing up for anything. Where are you in your journey? If you're facing loneliness, make sure you're connecting to God's presence.
Amen.
Make sure you're connecting to God's purpose.
Yes.
And last but not least, make sure you're connecting to God's people.
Yes.
Just not by walking in and out when you have an emergency, but finding a church home. We would love to have you. If you're not a part of our church family here, we would love to have you a part of our church family. Finding a home to belong, developing relationships, getting to know people so that you can be there for them and they can be there for you.
Amen.
In prayer, comfort, encouragement to build each other up.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.